Brothers and sisters, if you'll all turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says here, "The light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Christ calls us the light of the world, and He orders us to let our light shine for the rest of the world, so that they will glorify our Father in heaven. Now it can be said that this passage, even this last phrase, outlines our entire responsibility, Heavenly Father as His servants, to glorify God and to help others to do their best to glorify Him. The question is, how do we do this? And that's where letting our light shine come in. Now, real quick, let's think for a moment. What's the first thing we reach for when the power goes out in our house? We look for a flashlight, kind of like this one. Why? Because it gives us the light we need to see where we need to go, and so that we don't go stumbling around in the dark and tripping over things. Well, that's what light does, isn't it? It lets us see. So what does it mean for us to be lights to the world? Is the world in darkness, brothers and sisters? I don't think anyone in here would argue that it isn't. Now, obviously, I'm not speaking of physical darkness. I'm speaking of spiritual darkness. In fact, if you'll turn with me again to Luke chapter 1, verse 79, it outlines exactly what kind of darkness we're talking about here. And it also helps to clarify a little bit of what our task is. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The key words in that verse in Luke is the phrase, "the shadow of death." That's the kind of darkness that the world sits in. The world today is in a constant state of pain and suffering. And on top of all that, anyone out in the world today, well, at any time in the world, in their current state, has only one thing to look forward to: eternal death. Without coming into Christ, without seeing the light of truth and accepting Christ and being baptized into Him, anyone in the world has only eternal death to look forward to. And then, speaking more on spiritual darkness, even those few truly decent and moral people in the world, and there are a few, when they try to find some sort of spiritual guidance in their lives, look at the options that they have to choose from. You have churches and religions whose entire historical legacy is nothing but the slaughter of anyone who disagrees with them. You have religions that have so many different gods for different things that they build temples and shrines to gods that aren't even dedicated to a specific god, just in case they happen to forget one. Just in the Christian religion alone, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different sects to choose from. It's no wonder the world's in darkness and in spiritual chaos. No one would know where to turn for spiritual guidance, even if they did want it. That is why Christ commands us to be lights to the world and to let our lights shine. We are supposed to be, as brothers and sisters, the world's spiritual guidance. We are supposed to be guiding those in the world along that straight and narrow path we're always talking about, and helping each other as well. We're supposed to be the light that allows men to see down that path and to see the places where they might stumble so that they can better walk it without stumbling. Now, how do we do this? That's pretty simple, really. We do this by teaching the Word of God, by being the lights that Christ wants us to be, and by guiding people and helping them as best we can to find that straight and narrow path. And then by doing our best as brothers and sisters to help each other walk that path. Now, I'm not saying that we have to go out on some missionary expedition and go teach the word in every corner of the world. We don't have to do anything that drastic. In fact, it can be a fairly simple matter. Think for a second about how many friends we have in our daily lives and acquaintances that are out in the world. How many times in a week do we let an opportunity to teach someone in the world about the truth slip right out of our hands? And it doesn't even have to be a major topic. It could be anything. It could be maybe the question of religion comes up. Maybe they happen to notice that every Sunday morning you're not available because you're in with your ecclesia. Maybe it's every Wednesday night they notice you're not there, that they can't get a hold of you. Maybe that brings up the subject of religion. It can be an extremely simple thing to talk to someone about the truth. Not always easy, but simple. We don't even have to talk to someone to teach them about the truth. We can teach people through our actions in our everyday lives. If we are constantly striving to do the right things in our lives and to live an honest and hard-working lives as best we can, I can guarantee you someone's going to notice eventually. They might even bring it up. When we're talking with our friends, does the subject of religion ever come up? I'm talking about our close friends, not necessarily, you know, ones we see every day, but maybe close friends from the past, you know, maybe high school friends or something, if we happen to run into them again. I can't speak for anyone else, but it comes up quite often with some of my friends. These kinds of things can immediately set us apart and make us appear different to someone in the world, and that's not a bad thing. A lot of really good discussion can come out of it. Also, once we start teaching one or two of our friends, if we can manage to get them interested enough, they might start attending. They might start coming to meeting every once in a while on Sunday, or maybe coming with us to Bible class on Wednesday nights. And if they happen to get baptized themselves, it might spread a little more. Maybe they can get some of their family members to come. Maybe they can get some of their friends to come. If they have children or wives, maybe they'll start attending with them. A good analogy for this is just like the flashlight that I had a moment ago. Going back to that house where the power goes out, let's say you and a few friends are in there. First thing you do, you grab your flashlight when the power goes out. Well, what's the next thing you do? Well, you notice it's still a little dim with just the one flashlight, maybe a little inconvenient because there's more than one of you. So you help your friends find their flashlights. And once you all get your flashlights, it can actually become a pretty bright place. It's the same with us in the world. On our own, our lights don't always shine so very bright. That's why it's our job to help others to find the light of truth, so that together we can shine much brighter than we ever could on our own. Another thing about flashlights, it's an interesting illustration for this. This flashlight does not shine on its own at all. It needs one very key thing in order to work. Let's see if I can manage to get it out of my pocket. It needs batteries. Without a battery, a flashlight will not work at all. Well, our lights don't shine on their own either. We have to constantly be reading and studying the Word of God for ourselves, and to be helping others read and study it as well in order for our lights to shine at all. Now, I spoke a few minutes ago about how we can guide each other along that straight and narrow path that we talk about so much. Let's look up that passage for a moment. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are two paths mentioned here. We are supposed to be letting our light shine in order to help those few that will or might find the way of life, to find that straight and narrow path. But as we can see in this path, there is only one correct path, even though there are more than one to choose from. We have to constantly stay vigilant to make sure that we do our best to always walk the path that leads to life. Otherwise, if we happen to go down the wrong path, even for just a little while, if we happen to allow our lights to shine down the wrong path, we might lead someone else down that wrong path as well. And even if we make it back to the correct path, there's no guarantee that the ones we lead down the wrong way will. There's one final thing that needs to be mentioned on this topic. I've spoken quite a bit on making sure that we shine our lights for the world and lead the people of the world down the correct path. But again, we need to make sure that we are walking that correct path. If a member of the body goes astray and gets lost in the darkness of this world, as can happen, we need to make sure that we shine our lights as brightly as we can, that we do everything we can to help them back onto the correct path. And also, we need to shine our lights as brightly as we can whenever we see error. Because if we shine our lights, we might better be able to encourage others who may otherwise stay silent on a matter to shine their lights as well, and make their stand as well against error. And together we're always stronger than we are when we're alone. Thank you.